looking for metaphors for this life, since priests are often see them coming in baptism and coming out in burials. And in between there, we live in an airport terminal, a railroad terminal, take your pick. We come in. We don't remember coming in, but we all go out. Some people think there's no destination, and they're wrong. We are not home. We're just here for a purpose, a reason. And today we find another type of analogy for our life, and it's the journey. You know, I was young, I thought, gosh, you become a priest, that's the end of the journey. And then when you get there, you realize, like all of you have with marriage or anything else, the journey was the thing itself, right? It's the getting there. Oftentimes on a trip or a pilgrimage or vacation, it was the anticipation and what happened accidentally along the way that is life. You know, with plan a wedding for a year, and then some little goofy thing happens, that's all anybody remembers. But then you laugh at it later and you realize, you know, that's the way life is. And Jesus, having this experience here, he resolutely, another translation would be, he set his face firmly toward Jerusalem. He knew that he was going to die there. And, you know, that Israel's about the size, he's traveling basically from Eugene to Portland, so you got the Willamette Valley. Gives us a sense of how much space there is there from where he's in Galilee. And Jews would very frequently avoid the Samaritan area, kind of around where the West Bank is now, and instead they go from Galilee down to the Jordan River and then pass that way and then go up Jericho, from Jericho up the very steep incline, not cavern, but anyway, it's a road going up to Jerusalem. And so, but Jesus is taking the short way. He's going to go right through Samaria. Samaritans and Jews didn't like each other. It's like Republicans and Democrats having a political argument. It's political. This is exactly what it is, two different political parties. And the Samaritans, now I don't want to go into this too much, but basically at the Babylonian exile 500 years earlier, the Babylonians settled their own people there, and the Assyrians, who came in later, intermarried. So these were half Jew and half pagan, according to the Jews from the south. See, Jesus is going to Jerusalem, so they just hated each other. They both had excommunicated each other. So this is the backstory. To not receive somebody was a mortal sin in Semitic culture. So it was a very grave insult. And after James and John saw this and wanted to call down fire from heaven, after that Jesus called them the sons of thunder. So you think Jesus doesn't have a sense of humor. He called them thunder and lightning every time he saw there's a little thunder and lightning. You know, he'd kind of joke about it. What's he going to call you? He said he's going to give us a new name. I'm going to be impatient driver. I don't want that. I don't want that name, so I'm going to work on something else. Father long homily. No, that was Gonzo. if anybody remembers that. Who just had an anniversary, by the way. I think it's three. Isn't that scary? So anyway, as they're going along the journey to Jerusalem, we too are between Galilee and Jerusalem. We have a road to pass. We don't know what's coming. Jesus does, because he's God in a way, but he's also fully human. So he's being surprised by his limitations as a human being. He's not omniscient while he lives for 33 years. He gave that up. And the apostles, of course, know nothing of what's going on. And we too are encountering opportunities. And some are small, some are great. And here we are, and these three different individuals come, are getting an invitation or asking for one to follow Jesus more closely. It's the discipleship readings. And these stories are all of us. All of us have been in these situations. In one of them, the disciple comes to Jesus and asks, "Can I join you?" In another, Jesus asks somebody to join him. A third one, we don't know. We just know what his answer was. So sometimes we take the initiative, or we think we are. Other times God is taking the initiative. And some opportunities never come again. You've got to remember, Jesus will never pass that way again. They had the opportunity that none of us will ever have to follow Jesus in the flesh. What an opportunity these people were being offered. But look at what he says. This first one, in Matthew, who also has this story, this person is a scribe. So we know he's a very religiously educated man. Scribes and Pharisees, they were not all against Jesus. We only hear about the ones that hated him. But this scribe is very interested. He's very learned. They literally would write. And so he was very well educated. And he's very much to follow the Lord. He says, "Oh, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. I'm going to follow you on the road." Jesus had a lot of followers, not just the 12. And Jesus says, "Well, not so fast. Do you know that I don't have a pillow? Do you know that I don't have a home? Do you know that you're not going to have that comfortable life that you have as a scribe? That I'm an itinerant preacher? Are you ready for that?" You know, he deliberately cools his guy's jets a little bit, because he says, "You know, it's not always going to be exciting. I'm going to the cross." He didn't tell him that. He said, "Will you share with me these sufferings that these were just examples?" And, you know, on our journey, I've said this many times, but it really is the truth, is that love is what we've gone through with somebody, and God, on this brief period, this is why it's so important to realize that we're only in a very temporary world. It's almost like from this arch to this arch, and then eternity is the whole earth around it. We're just in this little place right here, this enclosed spot, the earth. It kind of looks like the earth a little bit, with a point. And as we go through this, the Lord wants us to share something with him so that we will understand him forever. The sufferings are our key to being real tight with Jesus. If you're only a good time person who goes to parties with people, those people, it's what I've gone through with somebody. That's what makes us tight with them. The love is permanent. We know something. We've been through something together. This is what Jesus is offering us. He says, life is short. Allow me to share something with you, some little piece that you'll understand forever about me. And this is what he's inviting us to. We don't want these things. We try to avoid them. I'm the same as you are. But when they come, we realize later, God invited us. Give you one example. This is extremely trivial, but it's still significant to me. I haven't had that allergic reaction like I had for probably nine years. I was not very happy to lose my voice. I told God I had too much to say, and he said, "Well, you're fired for 2 weeks." So, but the funny thing about that is that the rectory is finished and it's beautiful on the outside, and I got sick the day before it started, and the day it ended, I got well. And what am I listening to in there? Then they started on the roof. Earplugs, headset, and I thought, it's trivial, but I said, "Lord, this timing is very suspicious." I said, "Did you have to put me into that house just during those 2 weeks?" See, I don't believe in coincidences. And I'm sharing that with you. It's trivial. Actually, I managed to block it out. It wasn't that bad. But it was annoying. And I was planning on spending most of my time at the office. And of course, I couldn't say a word. But that's the way life is. God will show you by such things as that he is inviting us to that trivial offering. When a real serious one comes, I'll be more open to it, see? So the little things prepare us for the big things. The second person, Jesus asks him, "Follow me." Can you imagine? He might have been one of the 12 apostles. He might have been one of the 72. What an honor. Oh my gosh, the billions and billions of people that have lived. And he says, "Oh, I have to go bury my father." This is a Semitic expression. It doesn't necessarily mean his father's on his deathbed. That's why we have to do biblical interpretation sometimes. You have to have a little depth to understand. His father might have been dying. I doubt Jesus would have had this reaction if that were actually the case. Instead, what he's saying is, "I have family obligations, and when those are completed, I'll come back and look for you." And Jesus looked at him and said, and thought, I'm never coming back. You're never going to have this chance again. And he chose the wrong way. There are times when our choices are not easy. And as Catholics, it's going to get harder, I think, as we go along in our society, which is becoming more and more pagan. But God will look at us and say, are you willing to come with me? Or are you going to go with the crowd? The crowd is taking the freeway. He's going to lead us on the byways and highways. And it won't be as easy. But that's where life is. That's where all the glory is. That's where we really go through something with Christ. He's inviting this person in. And we don't know what the answer was. He said, well, you go proclaim the kingdom of God. It's left open because we don't know what his final answer was. We just know what his excuse was. So we'll see what he did. We don't know. Another one says, I'm going to follow you, Lord, but I've got to say farewell. That sounds like I don't really understand what the problem was, actually. But Jesus uses this third individual to make a point. And the point is, and this is something we can understand here being a farming area. He says, imagine that they've got two oxen. The yoke has two oxen, and he's holding the tiller, whatever you call this thing, the plow. And you're trying to plow a straight line with two oxen, and you're looking this way. What kind of line are you going to make? Get fired if you're doing that kind of thing. Or you're looking in the mirror, you know. He says, keep your eye on where you're going. Don't keep getting off on the highways and byways. Follow me. I'll show you where to go. Keep looking forward. Don't look back at what you lost. Don't just keep living in the future, which never comes. It comes, we can't anticipate it. Just follow me. I will lead you where you need to go. Trust me, even if, you know, we have things that happen, we don't understand it. So in all of these different ways, we only have a certain amount of time. Jesus is going to the cross. Notice none of the disciples were able to go there with him, but he loved them anyway. He invited them back. We too are going to fail on the journey. We're not always going to make it with him. He forgives us for serious sins. We have reconciliation. I'm never short of customers in this parish. Very proud of this parish. We have good confessions here. But Jesus understands, and he forgave those Samaritans that gave him that stiffed him for a meal and loved him. You know, and we have only this brief moment, but we don't know what God's going to ask us to share. It's often, you know, for so many people, it's you know, you're with a loved one and you have to take care of them or children, and it's difficult. You know, they pass away or they disappoint us, or life doesn't go the way we think it's going to go with our careers or our health or whatever. And God, in all these different ways, God is speaking to us. He loves us. We can unite that with him, no matter what it is. And at that moment, it becomes you and Jesus. And suddenly, Jesus we're disciples, because all we have to offer God is where we're at right now. You know, I'll finish with, as an American Airlines, I just thought, I want to be a priest, and I felt that way for 10 years. And I thought, well, life will really start when I'm doing this, never realizing that life was there as much as here. Life is where you're at. God asks us to do ministry and to follow him right where we are right now. That's the valuable moment. This is the whole point of this gospel, is one opportunity after the other. The Samaritans blew it. They blew their opportunity. Someone else invited them in and caught it. These three people all had opportunities. We don't know the answer for two of them. We just know they had excuses. And one said no. So we ask the Lord to help us to recognize more of these times when we can unite something we would prefer not to have with Jesus, who also preferred not to have his own cross, and asked God to take it away before he accepted it. Another hint for us. And ask him, can I follow you? Can I really go where you ask me to go? I'll finish with what Bernadette said, which you meant to start with, which I've said before. She said, and it's very significant, I think, to suffer passes, but to have suffered remains.